Recording.
We are on, baby.
We're on, baby. Hey, I'm here with Andrew Hamilton. I've stopped doing a professional style intro because the guest fucking hates it. How are you? How are you?
What were you doing at the intro?
This is very organic. I was saying, you're listening to the Dead Ramones podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Sim. Today, I'm here with my guest, Andrew Hamilton.
Yeah. And then were you saying anything else or just their name?
No, that's it. And then we just started.
That was fine, but people were hating it.
It just felt a bit, maybe I was hating it. maybe I'm projecting it. Andrew, you're a stand-up comedian.
I am.
You're a content creator.
Oh my God.
You are a content creator. You create content. No, you got big on TikTok doing the prison food reviews. You're a media personality.
It still shocks me. Daily Mail subject. Yeah, still now it shocks me that I'm big on TikTok as a 37-year-old dude.
Yeah, it's not a compliment. Sorry, I'm just checking the levels. Yeah,
it's not a flex. When people are like, "Oh, what do you do?" I'm never like, "Oh, I'm big on TikTok." Yeah, yeah. I try and leave that off.
But you're also maybe most famous for beating the charges.
Well,
I don't know how much we can talk about that, but you did beat the charges.
Well, I wouldn't say I pleaded guilty, but the judge liked that he liked that I had done some jail time. And
you liked your prison food review. No, that came after, didn't it? Fuck, okay.
He I was doing stand-up and I had posted the food reviews at that point. Yeah. I think he just liked that I was rehabilitating myself through comedy. That was not one that he'd heard before. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to see a lot more criminals becoming stand-up comics to try and lighten their sentences.
Yeah, as opposed to the other way around, which is usually what happens. Yeah,
right?
we should say, for the listeners who may not be familiar with you, take this with a grain of salt because I am me, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say pretty harmless crime.
Some would say I was doing good in society. I was a hero. You know, that's just what some people have been saying on YouTube.
Terrence McKenna of Inner Sydney.
Yeah.
I'm Inner City, Sydney.
Large commercial supply, magic mushrooms.
You can brag. Yeah. You can brag.
The largest on the list, large commercial supply of magic mushrooms, commercial supply of acid. Even though it was large commercial, they couldn't prove that I knew it was large commercial.
Yeah, right.
And then there was supply of MDMA. We love a technicality. Yeah, yeah.
But these are all like lovey drugs. Like
the fun stuff, yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess people could make an argument for acid. You got the precedent there with the Manson family, but I'm not putting that on you.
Thank you.
you're not a Charlie Manson type.
Thanks, bro. But they all have been purported to have positive benefits for people.
Yeah. Psychedelics are not synonymous with like overdosing on fentanyl. They're not synonymous with like Breaking Bad wasn't a show about him.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like selling mushrooms, right. You know what I mean? Like,
right, it would have been a very different story.
Yeah, yeah, this would have been very loving.
It would have been it's gone from good to like still good. Like,
yeah, good to even better.
But I used to have guys buy. It was a guy that was a former soldier, guy that was in the British Army, who would buy MDMA off me because he found it was the only thing that worked for treating his PTSD.
Wasn't that the reason they developed MDMA in the first place?
Quite possibly, yeah.
I think it was originally like a fucking military thing. I don't know if it was for PTSD, but. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and he found that it's the only thing that would work because what he would do is he would do therapy. Uh-huh. And even though his therapist was like, you shouldn't be doing this, he was like, it works for me. So he would take the MDMA before the therapy session and then they would talk about like things that are his trauma.
Okay.
But because he was feeling the positivity of the drug, it would like link a negative memory with a positive physiological feeling.
Interesting.
And he found that that worked for him.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is what we're here to talk about today. That's such a hard left turn to what the actual subject of this podcast is like. Oh, yeah, he really figured out a way to deal with his fucking trauma. Today we're talking about the band Suicidal Tendencies.
So when I Googled them to like look up more information about the band, I forgot.
Yeah.
It didn't occur to me.
Yeah.
Right?
So I'm just trying.
I've typed into Google Suicidal Tendencies. The first thing that comes up is just the number for Lifeline.
Man. I even like I'm trying to do all my very cursory research, but I'm like lyrics, album review, interview, And every single time it's Lifeline.
Yeah, yeah. And when I clicked on
it... I'm trying to trick Google. I'm like, I want to kill myself, but I'm like, I wouldn't want Google to know.
No, no, the band.
Honest. yeah, were you... So, yeah, so today on Dead Ramones, we are talking about the 1987. We're up to 87, baby. Talking about 1987 crossover thrash album by the Suicidal Tendencies called Join the Army.
Yes. How would you describe thrash as a genre of music?
So thrash metal is like Anthrax, uh-huh. even Metallica, little bit early Metallica, thrash metal. Megadeth, thrash metal.
Yeah.
And so what these guys were doing and other bands at this time, they were essentially a punk band who loved thrash metal. And that gave way to this genre called crossover.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's another band called DRI, Dirty Rotten Imbeciles, who had an album called Crossover.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was doing my little list for this podcast, like I have to get an album per year, I was like, we got to do crossover because like it's just such a big part of hardcore. And like modern hardcore, they wouldn't necessarily call themselves crossover bands, but it is... so clearly in the sound, like over the last 20, 30 years, it's just become such an ingrained part of the genre.
Yep.
So I was like, what is the most remarkable crossover record? And according to all critics and stuff, it's this one.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry for fans of Stormtroopers of Death. I'm sorry to fans of DRI. We're doing Suicidal Tendencies, even though they fucking suck. I'm sorry.
I listened to the album and I mean, I would not say I have a very sophisticated ear for music, but I had trouble.
You have a more sophisticated ear than the Suicidal Tendencies. Like, even to me, who knows nothing about music, this was dog shit.
I had trouble distinguishing between most of the songs.
Yeah, I did. Dude, honestly, me too. I've never been a fan of ST. Like they're just such a big, you know, they're like McDonald's of like the alt music.
So tell me about this, because when I Googled them, I was on Wikipedia and it's like they've had like 5 billion members in the band.
It's one dude.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
It's Psycho Myko, Mike Murr, who was a younger brother of one of the Z-Boys, you know, Dogtown Z-Boys, the skaters and stuff.
Yep.
That's kind of my issue with it. And even on this fucking album, this is their second album, and they're already kind of establishing a brand more so than a band. Because like every fucking record, it was just like a new staff.
Mm.
They just changed guitarists, they changed everything. He's the only one who stayed.
Right. So
as the front man.
Why is there so much turnover?
No idea, dude.
Yeah. It's like, was he just like
I couldn't find any drama. I couldn't really find any drama. So people listening might be aware that there is drama, but like...
Or they just...
This is a business, dude. Like, this band is a business. They're still going today, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's a fucking business. And I think that's what turns me off on them, because it's just like, oh, we're just selling so many t-shirts, so we got to keep the band going with whoever's willing to play.
Right. Yeah, they've still got to turn up with someone.
Yeah. Because like they've got the character. I had a photo up before. I'm not going to find it. But like they have this sort of like character, like this merch character who's like a skeleton in like a Chicano, like flannelette buttoned up to the neck sort of thing with the thrasher hat, like with the skate cap, with the brim turned up. With Suicidal Tendencies.
Yep.
On top. My dog's ripping something up. Oh, fuck it.
Is it something valuable?
No, it'll probably just be his dinosaur toy. He's done. He's been all right. Sorry. It's welcome all right. to the podcast. One day I will get a studio. Maybe. Who knows? Nah,
I like the vibe here.
Yeah, yeah. And they sell those fucking hats. Like
yeah,
with
okay.
The brim turned up with the print. I don't know. It's just like, it does feel like more of a business than a fucking band, you know, than a creative outlet.
I mean, because when I saw that like list of people that have been in the band, I was like, fuck, this has got so much turnover.
Yeah.
I'd be suicidal too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, damn, I got kicked out of Suicidal Tendencies. I'm going to fucking kill myself. But,
if it's not because of this dude, was it Psycho Mike?
Psycho Myko, baby.
I mean, if he's not the problem, then is it what? They're listening to their own music and being like, actually, this sucked.
Maybe, dude. I don't know. Like I said, it was very cursory research, but it wasn't like...
Are there other bands, like, is this common in this genre of music to have bands where there's like that, the list of alumni is so,
I don't think so, man.
Crazy?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Because it's a long list, right?
Yeah,
it's really
super
long.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, well, I think it's so long because they just keep going and they keep releasing records. And it's just one of those things. I genuinely think like this is his main source of income.
Mm.
So he has to keep going. He has to find people who are willing to be in the band. But it's weird because I was looking at the current lineup. Yeah. This might mean nothing to you, but the current lineup includes the guitarist from a band called the Dillinger Escape Plan.
Okay.
Who are like this crazy technical death metal / hardcore band. Like just like jazz metal. Like
okay. So super skillful.
Super skillful, super technical.
Yeah.
And it's just weird that Ben Weinman is his name. Is in the Suicide. That's so weird to me. I was like, that's weird.
Is he in both bands simultaneously?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, okay. It must be. Yeah. So I couldn't find a reason why they have such big turnover, but my guess is just that it's Mike Murr needing to feed his family.
Everyone else is not, their heart isn't in it, right?
Yeah, they've got other stuff. But like, you look at a band like Anthrax, and it's always been like, the guys in Anthrax, it's been Scott Ian, and like, you know, like they're kind of defined by the individuals.
Yep.
Like, yeah. Do you listen to a lot of metal or anything like that? What's your musical taste?
I'd say I listen to a lot of Bogan Rock. I listen to WSFM on the radio. I listen to a lot of country music at the moment. What else do I listen? When I do listen to metal, like I did my favorite metal album would probably be like the Metallica S&M album.
Okay.
I love that. Right. With the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra.
Did they have the new bass player then? Robert Trujillo?
I don't know the answer.
You know the guy, you know, like the... Because he
was
in Suicidal Tendencies before he was in Metallica.
Someone told me that when I said I was doing this.
Yeah. So there's this point of reference, I think. Like they are a beloved band. They're so big. Like, they're so mainstream. And I think that's another reason why it's kind of important to talk about them in terms of, like, the history of, like, hardcore punk, because I feel like this was the start of when we saw the genre kind of like, you know, coming over into the mainstream, and it was like the start of that like sort of Vans Warped Tour, like big festival lineups where this kind of alternative music was reaching a wider audience.
Yeah,
and I guess like you said, like to a layman, like this is not a... I wouldn't classify this as a hardcore record by sound alone, but they were a hardcore band. They started as a hardcore band, then they decided they wanted to go more metal, basically.
Yeah, okay.
For their own sake. At this point, it's like it's not a big business. It's like the
what
album.
What does that look like when you change from being hardcore to more metal? What does that sound like?
Well, it sounds like this, I guess.
Yeah, but is that just what? It's just heavier, or like what are we talking?
Well,
like?
Okay. So basically, this album was them essentially trying to be Motorhead. Because their first album had the song Institutionalized, which is where like, you know, I just wanted a Pepsi, Mum. Just give me a Pepsi. All I wanted was a Pepsi, which is obviously referenced, you know, Limp Bizkit referenced it. Like it's such a famous song.
Yeah.
And again, that was kind of, when I say like coming over to the mainstream, that was like one of the first music videos for like hardcore punk to get like constant rotation on MTV.
That's cool.
So this band really did make roadways into the mainstream for the genre.
I found that it was very hard for most of the songs for me to hear the lyrics, like to understand what he was saying.
But they're not saying anything, is it?
Yeah.
Like, and he's not really saying... Like, I've got this up right now on my computer, Possessed to Skate.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Possessed to Skate. Okay. like other metal bands are like, possessed by demons that will rip your flesh off. And Mike Murr's like, possessed to skate. Yeah, cool. It had something about the pool, ripping the pool. Oh, he shoots the pool like a launching pad. Skating is all that's on his mind. If it ain't insane, then you can't get rad.
You can't get rad.
He's skating radical all the time, baby.
Man.
But that's the thing. Like, I saw this record because I wasn't familiar with it. I was familiar with, like, the big songs. I was familiar with Institutionalized. Like that's it. And then I saw this album. I'm like, oh, 1987.
Yep.
Join the Army. And then I was like, so that's the Reagan era. That's Iran-Contra. Mm-hmm. That's like a lot of shit going on in US politics.
Yep.
And then Suicidal Tendencies released an album called Join the Army. I'm like, oh, this is going to be like political. This is going to be like angry and political.
What points are going to make? And then they're like talking about skating and getting rad.
Dude, there's the actual title track, Join the Army, is literally just like, it's like hip-hop braggadocio. Like, Join the Army, he's talking about the suicidal army. Like, he's talking about his fans.
Yeah.
He's not saying anything. He's not saying shit. It's like, join the army, i.e. join our mailing list is what it means. Like, it's just so superficial.
He really stuck
it
to the man there.
Oh, man, I was so let down. I was like, oh, this is going to be a really interesting conversation. We get to talk about Reagan. We get to talk. No.
He's going to talk about Uncle Sam and, you know, fuck that shit, man. But no, we're talking about jumping into the pool.
Jumping into the pool, yeah, that's it.
Getting
man.
Rad.
That's it.
So there was one song, War Inside My Head, I think, that I was like, okay, I can hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
And I was like, that one, I can get on board with that. I was of the two songs that like stuck out to me that I enjoyed, War Inside My Head, and it was one called No Name, No Words.
Yeah, see, I can't even, I wouldn't, I don't know.
those ones, I was like, okay, these I'm enjoying.
But I
and
like,
they sounded different to everything else.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, like, they're just... Like, they are beloved. That's the thing. Like, people do love this fucking band. But I think if you weren't there when it happened, it's kind of impenetrable. Like, you can't really get into it.
Yeah.
But, like, if to take it back to, like, what they were doing musically, like, this idea of crossover, it's like, yeah, this is one of the iconic albums that sort of established that idea, like, the crossover hardcore punk and thrash metal. But, like, there's this kind of retrospective thing, like last week's episode spoke to Nick Capper about Cro-Mags, who are a New York hardcore band, but people kind of, you know, retrospect being 2020, they look back and they're like, oh, maybe Cro-Mags were actually the first crossover band just because there was a metal sound to it. But like, this is all like archaeology. Like, I think it's like almost kind of boring to talk about who did it first.
So is crossover exclusively when it was thrasher and punk combined, or
that's kind of it. Okay. Yeah. And the reason I really wanted to address that sort of subgenre is because when I was still playing in bands, I was in a crossover band. I was in a band, so I kind of wanted to talk about Stormtroopers of Death. I just think Suicidal Tendencies is more of a landmark for, like, everyone kind of knows Suicidal Tendencies, even if you don't listen
to it. I mean, it would have been better for my search history. Yeah. My mom and dad
No, not really, because Stormtroopers of Death, I joined this band. I wasn't super familiar with it, but I could just play. I loved hardcore, but I wasn't familiar with crossover. And the guitarist, who's like this, like, he's just a musical genius. Like, he just loves punk, loves hardcore, loves metal. It's like, I want to do a band that sounds like Stormtroopers of Death.
Yeah.
And Stormtroopers of Death, they had an album called Speak English or Die. And I was like,
wow.
I was like, hoo boy. Oh, mama. And we covered a song by Stormtroopers of Death called Kill Yourself.
Yes.
That's what it was called. It was called Kill Yourself.
All right. So these guys have got some problems. Yeah.
And these are the dudes from Anthrax. These were the dudes. Mm. So basically, Anthrax were a metal band, and they were like, oh, we want to do a hardcore band.
I just meant more, if my parents walked past my laptop at home and it's either got me searching Stormtroopers of Death or Suicidal Tendencies.
They're going to be less worried about it.
You're going to be like, oh, he's just a nerd.
Yeah. Stormtroopers of Death. Yeah, very computer game vibes. Yeah. But yeah, so it was just like such a big part. Like, the band I was in, we were called Right Back At Ya.
Right Back. Okay.
So anyone listening who wants to go check out the Brisbane hardcore band Right Back At Ya, I played bass in that band.
And so Right Back and then at space at, ya.
Right?
Yeah.
Back
at ya. All right. Yeah, sick.
It was like, we were pretty good, but it was a bit of a joke band.
Were you doing like, doing covers or did you do original songs?
We only did that one cover. We only covered the Stormtroopers of Death.
But the rest were original songs.
Yeah, the rest were original.
Yes.
The demo's probably up on Bandcamp if people want to check it out.
Were you writing the lyrics too?
No. I was just bass player. We had two singers. We had two vocalists.
All right.
Pretty cool. Pretty fucking cool.
Does that work? I don't know much about
it. No, it did not work. They fucking hated each other. They absolutely hated each other. This was literally, it was really a vanity project for the guitarist because he's such a good guitar. He just loves every style of music. So he just wants to do every type of band.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he
did.
He really did.
Yeah. Shout out to
Crispy.
I went to a metal gig on Saturday night.
Who'd you go see?
I went to Fangstock. Band Fangs. Aussie band named Fangs was having like a... metal festival in the Lady Hampshire in Camperdown.
Oh, cool. Good venue.
And it was awesome. But they did a cover of Freak by Silverchair.
Nice.
Which fucking went off.
Good song. Great song.
Yeah, I was very drunk and I had an amazing time.
Oh, was this part of your pub crawl?
Well, I had to leave the pub crawl early to go to the end of Fangstock to see these guys because... Oh, yeah. I know one of the guys in the band, and I told him I was going to go. And now these days, if I say I'm going to do something, I try and do it.
I'm the same.
And
I had a friend over from America on Friday with his band, and he messaged me specifically. He's like, "You should come see us." I'm like, "Fuck!" Yeah. I was like, "Okay, all right, come see us." That was good.
Dave Woodhead was there.
Oh, nice. At Fangstock.
Yeah.
Dave Woodhead from Triple J.
Yeah, yeah. He was actually DJing after after the gig ended.
That's so funny.
Yeah. You see, he's out everywhere.
Yeah. That's hilarious. So yeah, this is your gateway into being a metalhead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right back at you. I'm gonna go right listen back to it. At you.
Find it, man. Find it. You should definitely find it. Tell me what you think.
All right.
Listen to the cover. Listen to "Kill Yourself." I'm pretty sure the chorus to "Kill Yourself" is literally just "Kill yourself, kill yourself."
Mm.
You should go with your head and fucking kill yourself. I don't know. Pretty intellectual.
Deep. Yeah.
Pretty smart shit. It's funny when I sent you this. You were like, sort of saying how you don't know how helpful you're gonna be, which is fine.
Yeah,
it's totally fine. Yeah. I'm here to bore the fucking daylight out of you. You know? Like that's what this podcast is. But you did
mission
say
accomplished.
You did, your ears did prick up, and you were like, "Oh, there's a song called Prisoner.
Mm.
Maybe I'll relate to that, having been in remand."
Yeah, I didn't.
No, that's the thing. That's what's so funny about like you know, the songs like fucking songs like. War inside my head, you know, it's like, oh, I'm so fucking depressed, I'm so blah 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 blah, and you're using like what you were saying before about your mate who was in the army,
mm-hmm.
in the actual army, yep. not the suicidal army. Yeah.
He was suicidal.
Yeah. Who has PTSD from being in combat, mm-hmm. and then you have a band like this being like, there's a war inside my head because life's pretty hard. I'm not allowed on the computer.
I broke my skateboard.
I broke my skateboard. Yeah. Mom won't buy me a Sega, you know? Yeah, so The Prisoner. Oh my God.
Yes. So here's the problem with me having accessing The Prisoner was that I just couldn't make out what they were saying.
Dude, I 100% agree with you. They're not saying anything. You're the prisoner locked in your cell.
Mm.
You're living in your personal hell.
Mm-hmm.
Invisible bars
block your view.
And how do you feel about that line? The invisible bars blocking your view. Having been behind actual bars.
I mean, yeah, they were very visible.
Do you find that? Do you find that offensive? Do you find that insulting?
Well, this guy is just clearly a prisoner in his own mind.
Yeah, which is worse than being a prisoner in a prison.
Absolutely.
You know, obviously.
Yeah, so the bars were definitely visible.
Yeah, yeah. What else we got? What else? Don't be afraid. Don't be deceived. A new world for you can be conceived. So it's hopeful.
Mm.
It's hopeful, at least.
Don't.
And it rhymes.
You know, that reminds me. I was walking around the yard one day at Park Lee, and the radio was always on.
Yeah, sure.
And was always on WSFM. That was old...
WSFM, is that Western Sydney FM? Is that what it sounds like?
It could be that, but it's just like classic hits. Hits. So yeah, it's just cool. Like Bogan Rock, that kind of stuff.
Cool.
A lot of John Farnham, a lot of Cold Chisel. Yeah. And there was one day when I was walking around the yard. Firstly, a young bloke came in and changed the radio station to 90s hip hop.
Okay.
And one guy was like, "Touch the fucking radio again, you're fucking dead."
Oh, Jesus. Fuck.
It's funny how such a chill day. Everyone's exercising and then okay.
He just wants to listen to the voice, you know, John Farnham's voice.
Yeah.
He's like pumping iron. He's like,
"Yeah, I understand it." But one day I remember Tom Petty was on I'm free.
Love it.
Free falling. And I was laughing because I'm like, look at the bars. Look at the barbed wire fences. Like, we are not free. And this old bloke walked past.
Those rifles.
I'm like, I was laughing. I'm like, this is the worst song to be playing in jail.
Yeah.
And this old bloke walked past me and he just tapped his head and he goes, "As long as you're free in your mind, brother." And I was like, oh, That's deep. I need to think about that for a little while.
God bless this man. God, did you work on your mind palace while you were in prison?
Not really, no. No. Well, I just tried to exercise. I found that quite relaxing, yeah, you know, yeah, just getting a sweat going.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, as long as you're free in your mind, brother. Yeah. Well, is that enough? Because I can see the barbed wire fences.
Yeah. Is it enough? So when you're in remand, what is the situation? I mean, look who you're talking to. Do you want to feel how soft my hands are, or like
they are beautiful?
Like, I got no fucking clue. So is remand? Is it like? Are you in the prison with long-term prisoners?
You're in prison. It's just a normal prison wing, but it's for people that haven't been sentenced yet.
Sure.
So you're
not necessarily mixing with people who have been sentenced to life. Or anything like that.
No, you may be hanging out with someone who's going to be sentenced to life.
I see.
I was hanging out with guys who were in there for like a double homicide, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But they just haven't been sentenced yet. And they could be, their court case for some of these murder trials and big drug cases can take years. So they may be in prison, unsentenced for a few years before they get sentenced.
Yeah, yeah, shit.
And you could also be. When you're in remand, you could be. I was in maximum security, so I'm in there with like guys who are in there for murder.
Is that based on the severity of your charges?
Yeah, correct.
Because it was just commercial.
So large commercial drug supply is considered an A classification, which
and
is
you're
the
just
worst.
There
the worst.
Next to fucking pedophiles and fucking.
Well, anyone who's on sex crimes is in a different yard. They're in protection.
Great episode.
They're in the boneyard. That's the protection
room. Right. Yeah, because they're at risk of being stabbed.
Exactly. So any.
Sorry. Shivved.
But yes. Well, I mean, you can get all kinds of weapons, you know?
Hey, don't beat yourself up. You can get stabbed.
And so, there's just this mix of people, but it's like police informants and. Anyone to beat up the elderly, rapists, pedophiles, all those guys.
Yeah.
And it's also guys who just get tired of getting beaten up, will ask to go to the boneyard. So
did you sorry, this is gonna sound very trivial, but like I said, this is my connection, the closest I've come to it. Did you I don't even want to ask this question now, but now I have to. Did you watch Mr. In Between?
Because
there's that episode where he's in remand with that kid.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid's just like trying to get along. And he says champ, which is like sodomizer or whatever.
It means cocksucker.
Cocksucker, right.
Yeah.
Right. And then he just gets beat. So like that kid after, you know, four or five more bashings would get moved to the boneyard, even though he's not like a sex criminal or anything like
that. Yes, correct.
Yeah, fuck.
But I mean, champ doesn't really, I mean... If you said that to someone in prison, they'd just be like, "Oh, don't say that." It wouldn't go.
Yeah, no, but yeah, obviously, yeah. Things.
People aren't like, "Oh man, that's a cocksucker. That's really incident." They're like, "Dude, yeah, maybe not the right word."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like, yeah, I guess for the show, they needed something that sounded casual that he wouldn't know.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hello.
This dog's wanting attention now.
So
Gus, you're a prisoner inside your own mind.
Want to go for a skate? So in remand, once you get sentenced, I would have been sent to minimum security then because I was on non-violent crimes.
Okay, but while you're in, but while you're waiting, to
while
get
I'm
charged,
waiting,
just that's just the bureaucracy. You
that's
just
right.
Go,
yeah.
Fucking hell. Were you okay? I'm sorry if you've talked about. I know you've done bunch of podcasts talking about this shit, so you can tell me to change.
That's all
subject.
Right. No, I'm
I don't want to bore you.
No, that's all
but were you scared?
I was just.
I'd be fucking terrified. Like, that's not. Wait at all. I would be fucking terrified. I'd be shitting my pants.
It all happened so quickly. I didn't have time to think about it at first. In the first 2 weeks, I was in quarantine. So you're just stuck in a cell. So you're more worried about just how bored you were.
And
depressed you were rather than worrying about anything else.
I know you got jokes about it, but when they arrested you, what was going through your mind?
I was so coked up.
Sure. Yeah.
I didn't really. It was just very surreal. It
wasn't
was
like that dread. It wasn't like that.
No, it was hard to take it all in.
Yeah,
I just felt defeated. You know, just like a beast that
kind of
had been
roll over.
Like a gazelle that had just been taken down by a lion. You're just a heaving, sweaty, defeated mess, and you're like, "Fuck! All right, well, here we go. What's happening next?" And then, you know, I was in Surry Hills Police Station for a day. Then I got refused bail and sent to prison. And then, you're on a truck. Next thing you know, you're in green clothes with a bunch of other random dudes just trying to figure out. what the rules are, and then I was in a cell, for the first 2 weeks for 23.5 hours a day, and so that took a toll on your mental health. I didn't have like a TV or anything to read for like the first week, so I was just like stuck in my own head in a cell with nothing to do, and that was the worst part.
Yeah, later, I can't even imagine that. Later, I hate a fucking 7 hour flight, man. Like, yeah. I can't, you know.
Yeah, I just try to sleep because there was just nothing to do.
Yeah, okay.
And then eventually I got a pencil and started writing food reviews, and then I got a TV and I got books, and then just things to keep your mind active.
Yeah,
and then
so
once you keep your body and your mind active,
yeah,
you get into a rhythm of prison. You're like, this is fine.
You've got a schedule.
I've got a schedule, I've got routine.
Well, that's rehabilitation, right? That's the same as like drug rehab and stuff. It's just like, make your bed.
Routine.
Go for a walk.
Yeah.
Have lunch.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And so once I got to that stage, it was fine. And by that stage, when I got into like a mainstream prison wing, it was dangerous if you rub people the wrong way.
Yeah.
But I was just so glad.
You're a very likable man, though. I feel like you could get along with.
I made friends, and and I'm also like, I'm luckily 100 kilos, 6 foot, so that like helped to be a deterrent.
Always,
I didn't have any dramas, and then I mean, there was times when there was certainly tension, particularly when you're trying to get on the phone, because there's like 80 guys in a wing, and there's only like 3 phones. And so you try and join the queue, and guys will try and push in front of you, and then you've got to stick up for yourself, and like things can kick off.
Yeah, because it's like that. I imagine it'd be like a fine line, or pick your battles a little bit. Like, you don't want to just let people walk over
exactly
you.
Exactly right.
Unless they're the type of person that is allowed to walk. Yeah.
People will see if you're a pushover, and they'll target you, so you have to push back.
That's fucking,
Yeah.
Any fights? Any physical altercations?
I saw a couple of guys get stabbed.
No, but did you get punched in the face?
Oh, no. I never had any physical altercations.
Sorry to... you saw a couple of guys... The headline here is, what the fuck? You did see people get
stabbed?
Well,
I saw guys like... they'd go into a cell and the door would close behind three guys would follow them.
I hate it.
And then it was just like a trail of blood.
Because it is... it is like... It's like... You see this shit on TV. Like, there's so many shows and you're like... Yeah, that I'm having to realize that. I feel like this maybe shouldn't be entertainment for people, right? do you watch like shows like that anymore after having lived it?
I mean, it's really not that bad. And usually when these stuff happens, usually people have brought it on themselves. It's either gang beefs or people racking up drug debts they're not paying off or things like that.
Right.
Because it all comes down.
I love that you're like, yeah, they deserved
it. Yeah. Well, there was one guy I saw. He had his jaw broken because he lied about his charges, and they found his charge sheet in the bin, and he like bashed a baby. And so that.
All right. Well, so it's not like, a lot of sympathy for that guy.
Yeah. So it's like, I kind of deserved it. Yeah.
You're like taking bets, you're like creating a sports book for fucking.
Well, the guy
how many broken bones? The guy over under.
the guy that did it, I think he ended up getting like an extra year or two to his sentence.
Yeah.
But I gave him like chocolates and soft drink and stuff like that to be like, good work beating that fucking child abuser.
Yeah. It's brutal, man. Damn.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
That's why I kind of love having you on for this one, because like these fucking bands, like there are, I think more so on the East Coast, New York hardcore bands, there's a lot of homeless kids, like, or not homeless, like they're living in squats. They're like kind of living this New York street life in the 80s.
Yeah.
But this band is West Coast, they're LA. And they just seem so like, they're writing the same sorts of lyrics, like, yeah, I'm a prisoner in my mind, there's a war in my head sort of thing. But then you read what they've actually written, you're like, you don't know
anything.
You don't know shit about anything. And like you've been through some shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. They've just lived this sweet life by the beach. You know,
by the skating.
Smoking weed.
Smoking weed, jumping over fences, skating empty pools. It's kind of like...
And the writing shows, you know? Yeah, you can tell.
Yeah. I haven't listened to recent Suicide Tendencies, but this album is fucking dumb. It's dumb. And there's a space for dumb music. Like I was saying, Stormtroopers of Death, real funny.
Mm.
Real funny, deliberately dumb.
Yep.
Just hard and fast. Yeah, kill yourself. If you can take a step back, it's like, that's fucking funny.
What was the really racist one?
Speak English or Die. That's the name of the album, dude. Speak English or Die. And they're like, oh, we were just trying to offend people. It's like, okay, well,
mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. But it's also like my friend who loved them, who introduced them to me, Crispy. He
you have a friend named Crispy?
Crispy, yeah, his name's Chris. He's been in so many legendary Brisbane bands. He was in a band, death metal band called From These Wounds.
Mm.
Very good death metal band.
That's a sick name.
Yeah. But he was like, so in interviews, these guys will be like, oh, you know, it's just, we're just trying to be funny. We're just trying to offend. We're just like, it's in jokes. But then like I think there's probably more to it than that, because Crispy was saying, he was like, well, this is New York in the 80s. And there's just like, it's not necessarily racism. Like, it's definitely xenophobia, but it's just like, you're in such a crowded city, just with so many different cultures like mixing and stuff. Like, it's racism, but not in the sense where it's like the racism pipeline to hate crimes. It's just getting through the fucking day. And I've got a friend who's like a lifelong New Yorker, and he's punk kid, pretty woke guy, pretty PC guy, until he gets behind the wheel on the JFK parkway.
Yeah.
And then someone cuts him off and is like, are you Puerto Rican motherfucker? Like, it's just that. It's just like letting it out, just venting. Like,
I think there's a space for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like that Shane Gillis bit. It's like, no one's a race. Like, no one, like, you're like, being racist is like being hungry.
Yeah.
You're not always hungry until a cheeseburger cuts you off in traffic. Yeah. You sort of thing. Like, you know, like,
yeah. And the race that cheeseburger is.
Whatever you think it is. Yeah. Yeah.
So why is this album their most famous?
Because of that crossover, because of the thrash metal punk. So there was a lot of backlash because like they were such a skater band. They were such a like that first record with Institutionalized on it. It was just so beloved by the punk community. Mm-hmm. And then they changed their sound on this one, and they were all like, oh, like, they're going more metal, like, we're worried. And like, obviously that's at the time, but like historically it's like, it was a landmark. It was like a fucking fork in the road. And this like bringing in this like Motorhead sound or like this Anthrax sound is just such a part of hardcore these days. Like, there's a band called Power Trip who are very much a hardcore band, but if you'd never been to their shows, if you'd never seen them or whatever, you just put the record on without knowing anything else, you'd be like, oh, this is death metal.
Yeah.
This is death thrash. Like, yeah. And they're an amazing band. So it's almost like, this is kind of what I'm like kind of trying to figure out, is like, how important is the actual sound for hardcore as opposed to the individuals that are in it?
Yep.
Like and just their background and how they express that. You know, because even these days, like, even like, not talking about the metal influence, like last year, do you know the band Turnstile? They're pretty mainstream now, but like, they released this album. They're a fucking hardcore band, but the album is like, it's got R&B, it's like essentially pop punk at times, but they're still a hardcore band because of the dudes who are in the band.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and they've got like steel drums, like they play with like these like the singer plays steel drums.
But the style of music's quite varied on the album.
Really eclectic, really eclectic. Like they do a song with I think it's Blood Orange, who's like an R&B act.
Mm.
It's just like super chill, like,
that sounds cool.
But they're still a fucking hardcore band because that's where they came up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like, the sound is almost secondary to the culture.
Well, okay. So Andre 3000 came up with like a flute album recently.
I know. And he's still a hip hop artist, right? Yeah, like people who love hip hop still love Andre 3000, even though he released a fucking jazz record. Yeah. Instrumental jazz. It's like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The rapper Andre 3000.
Yes.
It's like way more cultural than anything else.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's interesting. Hey.
Yeah.
Apparently that did pretty well. I haven't heard it.
I haven't heard it either. I heard that it's like kind of a big deal. Like, producers and other rappers are already using it to make their own songs and
that's
stuff.
Cool.
And yeah, so I'm keen to check that out. what was I going to say? Oh yeah. The reason I chose this one to talk about is like, you got to talk about the genre, but again, like I said before, they are really like kind of the spearhead, like the tip of the spear in terms of bringing this. Like, they're so specific in sound, but like in terms of like the wider like ecosystem of punk and hardcore, like they brought that to a bigger audience, and the audience has just got bigger and bigger, and that's partly because of the metal influence, I think.
Yeah.
Like, you bring those metal fans in, and then they like find all these, you know, they find Cro-Mags, they find bands that are like more traditionally hardcore, and then that fan base grows and grows and grows. Sure. And like I said, it's still not, it's not fucking Beyonce or anything like that, but like hardcore punk is bigger now than it's ever been.
Really?
Know? I reckon, yeah.
That's
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Like NoFX is still touring.
Are there many band, like Aussie bands that are big in that in the space?
Speed are pretty big. I don't know if you know Speed. They're a Sydney band.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to, I can't remember who I was talking to, one of our, one of the other episodes. They were in Rush magazine.
Yep.
You know, the I think it's a, I don't know, it's 2024, I'm sorry, but I think it's a women's magazine, Rush with two S's.
Yes,
and
I have
like
seen
a
it.
A photo shoot, a photo spread, like kind of like a fashion shoot.
Yeah.
And I've never seen that before.
No.
I've never seen a hardcore band.
On a woman's magazine.
In a woman's magazine. And they're all like, they're cute boys. They are cute boys, yeah. But I don't think that's enough usually. Like,
nah.
Yeah, yeah. Because speed are hard. Like speed go. Like they're not doing a watered down version of the genre at all.
I wonder why they were like, I wonder why the editors at Rush were like, these guys should be in the
I don't know, like speed are super multicultural, I guess. It's like a little bit like that. I can see in Sydney it being a little bit like that 1-4
mm-hmm.
stuff. Like, you know, we had the 1-4 documentary and it's like, even if you're not into drill rap, it's still like, you got to watch this documentary because, again, it's kind of about the landscape, like the place they grew up, like it's about so much more than just like the songs that they wrote.
The,
I guess.
The cultural stuff is probably more interesting than the music itself.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think that's another reason why I find it hard to relate to Suicidal Tendencies because I'm not a longboard skater in the 80s on Venice Beach. We went to Venice Beach last time we went to America, and it sucked, dude. It's so shitty.
Is it?
It's shitty, man. Venice Beach sucks.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's disappointing. I mean, it's just such a, it's one of those landmarks you think is going to be awesome.
It's just like stalls of like airbrush t-shirts. Like, it's just, it's crappy. Bad, bad tattoo parlors. All that sort of
a lot
stuff.
Of like jack dudes working out on the beach.
We didn't get to see the jack dudes. Like,
was it called Muscle Beach or what are they called?
I don't think we went to Muscle Beach, but like they've got a lot of outdoor gyms.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's a real different vibe to the outdoor gyms in... in Australia. I feel like outdoor gym in Australia is just like divorced dad trying to get back in shape.
Oh, it's just like a couple of CrossFitters showing off for like a few minutes down at Bondi Beach.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Bondi is probably a bit more closer to Venice. I feel like the normal suburban park gym is like, because that's where I used to work out. And I just always felt like such a, like just a scumbag. You know what I mean?
Well,
it's like, why aren't you in the real gym? Did you get kicked out? Were you handing out flyers about how it's okay? Oh, speak English or die. You know, they kick you out of the real gym. Like,
I have a positive, I have affinity to those now because like in jail, that's all the, like the gym equipment is like static gym equipment, you know, stuff that you can't use to whack someone over the head and murder them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very much what you see in these local parks is that kind of,
It's all attached.
Is that body weight stuff.
Yeah. I just do it in my... I've made a shift from the park gym from like, the prison workout. I'm going to be arrested in the future. I'm just getting ready. I've made the transition to the YouTube workouts.
Yeah.
I'm doing like Pilates workouts.
That's cool.
It's just this like petite Korean American woman and I'm just like, oh! Sweating. She's like, and okay, ladies. I'm just like, ah!
Are you doing that just here in your living room?
Yeah.
I was like, See, that's the kind of stuff where like, I would prefer to be doing that in my own privacy, the privacy of my own home.
Yeah. And it's tough. It's embarrassing.
Downward. Time for downward dog.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think I don't have too much more to say about this record, to be honest. It's unavoidable. Like, it's unavoidable. Like, you just, they are important.
Mm-hmm.
But important is often, it feels like homework, you know, and I'm sorry I had to give you homework, but we got to do an episode.
Is Psycho Myko is what, like a 50-year-old dude still doing Suicidal Tendencies?
Still doing Suicidal Tendencies.
Talking about skating from when he was what, like...
He's still playing these songs, I guess. I remember this single they had, and this was like later era, but I was in high school, and it was on Rage, and I saw the music video, because they've just changed their style. So like I was reading like... When Trujillo from Metallica joined it, they brought in a funk influence, and then you like you get into this whole conversation about like nu metal, like Korn and Limp Bizkit and all that stuff, and like it makes sense. Like you're just messing with genres and stuff, and then young kids hear it and they're like, oh, well, I'm going to do that. And then you get terrible, terrible bands, basically. Yep. But I do remember this one song they did. It was called I Hate Pop Music. I don't know if you ever saw that music video.
No.
It was on Rage, and it was like a ska song. And it was that era as well when ska was big. Mm-hmm. I was like, what are you guys doing? And it was just like, I hate pop music. Like, that's what, like the ska beat. It's like, I'm like, God damn. Like, but he's in another band called Infectious Grooves. I don't know if you know Infectious Grooves.
No, I do not know.
They're
Infectious
like a rock
Grooves.
A rock funk.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I was like, this dude is just like, he's diversifying.
Yeah.
He's a real businessman, I think.
Wait,
I think.
This is
Psycho Mico. Sorry, oh, not Trivio. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh wow.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the front man of Infectious Grooves. Pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff.
So how long has the band been around for now? 30 years or something?
So their first record, this is their second one, 1987.
Okay, I was born in 1986, so yeah, it must be like 36 years old.
That's it?
Yeah.
Band's 36 years old? Mm. Pretty, I mean, good on them.
Yeah.
Fucking good on them, I guess. But yeah, it's just like, I know people love them, but I just can't connect. Like maybe that first record is a bit better. Like I do like Institutionalize. It's kind of, it's just a classic, but I don't get too much from, like, see, the weird thing is, like, I really like Motorhead.
Mm-hmm.
I like Lemmy.
Yep.
R.I.P.
Yep.
But then, like, this feels like you listen to him sing and like, I wouldn't have made the connection straight up, but after, like, doing the research, I was like, oh, he's trying so hard to sound like Lemmy.
Mm.
And that kind of, like, it just makes me feel a bit yucky, honestly. I was like,
yeah, what? Because you're trying to be his original voice?
Yeah, I just like music that is like, like, I think genre is important. I don't have an issue with genre, but my favorite bands are just bands that are like so, just like, I guess, idiosyncratic. Like they're just doing something, not even doing something new, but they're just doing something that feels completely genuine. It's like an expression, an extension of their personality. It's not, yep. It's almost like stuff that isn't a choice. It's like, it just had to happen.
Yeah. And just being themselves.
Which is something I brought up with the other records we've done, because they were all so young. The people in the bands were so young at the time that it, and I relate to it. It's like, you don't choose to do a band. You do it because the other option is killing yourself. You know,
yeah.
The other option is just like depression. Like you need an outlet. Whereas suicidal tendencies, it just feels like, and again, maybe this is over a long enough timeline, that's why it feels like it does feel like a money-making machine.
Yeah, okay.
More so than an artistic expression.
It's interesting. I mean, obviously, this band's not a good example, but like when bands are still together over like 20, 30 years,
yeah.
Because like even in a relationship, you know, you change as a person,
yeah, exactly,
so many times,
yeah.
And
yeah,
your tastes and your interests change over that time. So you have to keep falling back. It's like a relationship. You have to keep falling in love with each other,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's fascinating when you see bands stay together and evolve together.
Yeah.
And they're
both. I much prefer, that's the thing. And I guess, like, look, in their favor, and this is in an interview, he said, like, they just were always trying to do something new, and then they get backlash on that because the next album didn't sound like the first album. There's an interview with Mike Murr here, like, that he kind of expresses that. And in their defense, at every single turn, they have tried to do something new, and they have tried to, like, progress.
Mm.
But I think the thing that is different in their respect is what you said before, where it's just this rotating stuff, and that's why it sounds different.
Yeah,
it's not because they're growing as people; it's because it's a completely new batch of
exactly
human
right.
beings playing the instruments. But in general, I much prefer. I don't get off on this like, oh, this band from 15 years ago—they're touring Australia and they're playing this album in full. I'm like, I mean. I don't get anything out of that. I'm like, I can listen to that record.
Mm.
I want to hear the whole catalog. I want to hear what you guys are doing now.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. So you...
I'm still like, yeah. Like, I'm realizing I'm a real nerd when it comes to music.
I mean, when I saw Guns N' Roses, right, like fucking would have been like 10 years ago now, and they were playing too much of their, Chinese Democracy album or whatever it was, and I was like, fuck, man, just play the hits.
I get that. For a band like Guns N' Roses, I get it. I guess like the stuff that I really care about, though, is like, I want to see what... you people, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Like, I like Guns N' Roses. I don't super care about them though. So if I went to see him, I'd want to see Appetite for Destruction. Yep. I want to see Use Your Illusion, like the songs off those.
Yes, yep. And Axl Rose was like fucking.
This is Fat Axl.
He was like coked up, skinny Axl at the time. Right. But he kept running off stage, like every song, obviously do a bump or whatever, and like running off and racing back in.
Nice. I mean, that's kind of what you want. Yeah. One time I was driving the lead singer of the Dandy Warhols, Corey Taylor. Mm-hmm. I was driving him. And it was at a festival, so it was like shared pathway. So there were pedestrians who weren't in, like, we had to go around the festival to get to different stages.
Yep.
So we're outside of the festival ground. So there were people who were just walking in the parklands.
Yeah.
And I'm driving my van down the shared pathway. And he's like leaning over and beeping the horn and yelling at people to get out of the way.
Oh my God.
Yeah, oh my God, yes. But also, if you're going to meet the lead singer of the Dandy Warhols, that's kind of the experience you want. You want him to act like the fucking asshole rock star he is.
Get the fuck out of the way!
And where we were going, he had to get to another stage to see this burlesque performance because he was hooking up with one of the dancers and she asked him to come watch.
That's so funny.
And he's just like trying to convince himself that he cares about this random Australian girl. He's like, I said I'd be there. It's like, dude, just get your dick sucked, man. Like, she's not going to be angry about it. She's stoked.
And it's so funny having the famous people still have like quite relatable problems. Like, this. So
I've got to see this chick do this thing. I promise her. No, I got to put in the hours. Look, thank you so much for coming on today. I tried to plan out this episode because I knew that I don't have much to say personally about this beyond my own experience playing in these crossover bands.
Yep.
But I think we did it. I think we covered it pretty well.
I think we gave it as much as we could, considering neither of us loved the album.
We gave it as much as they gave in recording it. Yeah, drop in the pool. Okay, cool. All right, man. Do you want to, is there anything else that you need to, are you doing anything big this year? Are you?
No, just keep an eye out for me on the festivals next year. I'll be touring a new show called Andrew Hamilton is a Shit Blog.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
That's not true, though.
That's what the show is about. It's about
you being a shit bloke?
It's about realizing that just because you stop doing crime doesn't mean you just instantly become a good person.
I did like your Fringe, your work in progress. Andrew Hamilton doesn't mention prison once. It's very funny. I like that.
It's like a little bit. I was just trolling other comics, you know. Like, what's he going to talk about next? Yeah, like, well, we're going to find out together.
Yeah, we'll find out, dude. That's cool. Yeah, yeah. Follow Andrew Hamilton. What's your Instagram?
Just Andrew Hamilton Comedy.
And TikTok as well?
Andrew.hammo.
Get on those food reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Are you, so what are you doing now? What's your new thing for TikTok?
I haven't been posting much other than just some like old stand-up clips at the moment.
Yeah. I'm thinking about getting on there, just not really like engaging too much, but just like a repository for stand-up clips. I'm thinking I might just chuck them on TikTok and forget about them. Maybe.
Why not? Yeah. Yeah. If you've got the content.
Yeah, yeah.
You never know. Sometimes
I'm a 38-year-old man, Andrew. It feels very creepy for me to... Just the process of making a TikTok account is going to be like...
You'll get past that.
Oh, I hate myself.
Join the weirdos.
I don't know. I talk to Eden about it all the time, Eden McGovern, and she's just like, I love it, but I hate it. Like, you know, there's always something
you hate it until you like have one video that like just hits the algorithm and then like it blows up and you're like, this is unreal.
You feel like Mr. Big Dick all of a sudden.
You're like, look out, here we fucking go. Yeah. All right.
That's cool. So Andrew Hamilton is a shit bloke. Look out for that. And as for me, just follow Dead Ramones. It's literally just Dead Ramones on Instagram. My personal Instagram is ryan.d.sim. Email us if you want. If you've got corrections, if you've got issues with anything that we're talking about, I'm going to get you the email address right now. It's just deadramonespodcast@gmail.com. Please write in if you want us to do. I'm going to try and start a Patreon soon.
Hate mail.
I hate promoting everything at all times, but engage with us. Like we're going to do it. Yeah.
And go see Ryan at Rat Club.
Oh, yeah. I never promote Rat Club on this. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Rat Club is my weekly comedy show. We are wrapping up for the year, but we're starting again in 2024.
January 8th will be our first show back. So come check out Rat Club. Our SEO is fucked. It's Rat Club with a K, but comedy with a C. So I don't know what's going on, but try and find us on Instagram. It's Rat Club Comedy.
I'll find it. If you want to, you'll find it.
yeah, no, thanks so much, Hammer. I really appreciate
it. No worries, man. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks so much, guys. Thanks for listening.
Bye.